Part 1. The Tribal System. Chapter 1. Corporate Tribes. Every organization is really a set of small towns. If you're from a small town, think of the people there. If you're not, think of, as Don Henley sings, that same small town in each of us. There are the business executive and the sheriff. There's the town scandal, the preacher's wife and the schoolteacher. There's talk of who will be the next mayor, who will move away, and the price of grain, or oil, or the Walmart starting wage. There's the high school, where the popular kid, the son of the town sheriff, throws a party the weekend his father is away. There are the church crowd, the bar friends, the single people, the book club, the bitter enemies. They're also the ones who are the natural leaders, who explain why the party at the sheriff's house seemed like such a good idea at the time, and how sorry they are for the beer stains on the carpet. The people are different in every town, and the roles are never exactly the same. But there are more similarities than differences, and the metaphor itself always holds, from companies in Nebraska to ones in New York or Kuala Lumpur. We call these small towns tribes, and they form so naturally, it's as though our tribe is part of our genetic code. Tribes helped humans survive the last ice age, build farming communities and later cities. Birds flock, fish school, people tribe. A tribe is a group between 20 and 150 people. Here's the test for whether someone is in one of your tribes. If you saw her walking down the street, you'd stop and say hello. The members of your tribe are probably programmed into your cell phone and are in your email address book. The 150 number comes from Robin Dunbar's research, which was popularized in Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point. When a tribe approaches this number, it naturally splits into two tribes. Some of the corporate tribes we've seen include the high potential managers of one of the world's largest financial services companies, the doctors, nurses, and administrators of one of America's most respected healthcare institutions, the research and development division of a mammoth high-tech firm, the operational executives of a major drug company, and the students of the executive MBA program at the University of Southern California. Tribes and companies get work done, sometimes a lot of work, but they don't form because of work. Tribes are the basic building block of any large human effort, including earning a living. As such, their influence is greater than that of teams, entire companies, even superstar CEOs. In companies, tribes decide whether the new leader is going to flourish or get taken out. They determine how much work gets done and of what quality. Some tribes demand excellence for everyone and are constantly evolving. Other tribes are content to do the minimum to get by. What makes the difference in performance? Tribal leaders. Tribal leaders focus their effort on building the tribe, or more precisely, upgrading the tribal culture. If they are successful, the tribe recognizes them as the leaders, giving them top effort, cult-like loyalty, and a track record of success. Divisions and companies run by tribal leaders set the standard of performance in their industries, from productivity and profitability to employee retention. They are talent magnets, with people so eager to work for the leader that they will take a pay cut if necessary. Tribal leaders receive so many promotions in such a short period of time that people often spread buzz that they will be the next CEO. Their efforts seem effortless, leaving many people puzzled by how they do it. Many tribal leaders, if asked, can't articulate what they are doing that's different. But after reading this book, you will be able to explain and duplicate their success. A tribal leader many of us know from history is George Washington. His single major contribution was in changing 13 diverse colonies into one people. If we look into what George Washington actually did, he built a single identity, measurable by what people said, to a series of networked tribes. One was the affluent class in Virginia society, perhaps fewer than 100 people. Another was the Continental Congress, originally 55 delegates. The third was the officer class of the Continental Army. Each time, Washington led the group to unity by recognizing its tribalness, by getting its members to talk about what unified them, valuing freedom, hating the king's latest tax, or wanting to win the fight. As he built the common cause in each tribe, a mission gelled, and they embraced "we're great" language. Washington's brilliance in each case was that the man and the cause became synonymous, with the leader shaping the tribe and the tribe calling forth the leader. This is how tribal leadership works. The leader upgrades the tribe as the tribe embraces the leader. Tribes and leaders create each other. Before we move on, a few words about our method. We're at the end of a 10-year set of research studies that involve 24,000 people in 24 organizations with members around the world. We derived each concept, tip, or principle in this audiobook from this research. What moved us, and what we hope moves you, is not the statistical side of the analysis, but the people we met along the way. People who live the principles, who make life better for millions of employees, customers, and residents of their communities. As a result, we've written this book around the individuals who moved us. As you take this journey with us, you'll meet former Amgen CEO Gordon Binder, NASCAR chairman Brian France, IDEO founder Dave Kelly, Gallup CEO Jim Clifton, authors Ken Wilber and Don Beck, Dilbert creator Scott Adams, actress Carol Burnett, Nobel laureate Danny Kahneman, and Mike Ruzioni, captain of the 1980 Olympic gold medal U.S. hockey team, the basis of the movie Miracle. We're indebted to these individuals and many others, and to a lineage of research that is fairly new to business. If you want to see the academic side of our research, you might start with Appendix B in the hardcover book, which is the story of our methodology. A roadmap to tribal leadership. Most people describe tribal leadership as a journey in which they understand themselves and the people around them better, and as a result, know exactly what actions will affect their workplaces. Most people are blind to tribal dynamics. Our clients have described the moment when it all clicked for them, when they were able to see their company as a tribe, and suddenly they saw exactly what to do. In the same way, George Washington somehow knew what to do more than 200 years ago. The first part of this audiobook will give you the insights and vocabulary of a tribal leader. Chapter 2 introduces the main thrust of this book, tribal stages. The tribal stages operate like a slow conveyor belt that keeps sticking. When the belt is moving, people naturally move from one stage to the next. The early chapters in this audiobook will remind you of the early stages of your career, the days right after college when you didn't know people, it was hard to find traction for your ideas. You'll recognize some of the clusters of people who have gotten stuck at this stage and built their part of the tribe accordingly. The vast majority of people become stuck in the middle stages, then seek out tribes that speak their language and do things in a familiar way. The goal of this audiobook is for you to become a tribal leader without our help. The lessons we offer are ones we observed around us, and so we believe that we are students of tribal leadership, the same as everyone. That said, we hope you'll share your successes and failures with us so that we can learn with you. Our contact information is at the end of this audio program.